thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, welcome everyone. My name's Jason King, one of the pastors here at Faith Bible Chapel. I lead men's and mission. Many of you may or may not know me, but it's a real pleasure to be with you this morning, be able to communicate to you something that's very dear and precious to my heart. I am passionate about missions. God spoke to me very clearly several years ago when I was, probably 20 years old. And God spoke to me very clearly. I'd set some time aside to study God's word at a four-year school down in San Antonio. And God spoke to me clearly one day as we were praying for missionaries. And I began to weep. And I felt like God just didn't ask me to care for the nations. He put something in me that made me feel responsible for them. And I think that there's that time in our life when God speaks to us and he tells us to do things, and that's great. But then there's another time when God speaks to us and he gives us this responsibility. We feel like we are the ones responsible for the nations. And at 20 years old, I didn't know, the only way I knew how to process this, what God was saying, was just to cry. And so that's what I did. I was a blubbering 20-year-old young man sitting in a chapel saying, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. It doesn't matter. And God began to put a very special call on my heart for the nations. And as you follow Jesus, and many of you know this, your calling never changes, but your assignments do. And we know that. And I think everyone's always trying to, I thought my calling was this. I thought my calling was that. Listen, your calling never changes. God's gifts are irrevocable on you, and his calling on you is irrevocable. But our assignments do according to what God is saying, according to our decision to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. So I continue to follow God with whatever he asked me to do. And so I had a great opportunity going on a mission trip. My first mission trip was probably 12 years ago, I think it was. And it was to a country called Cambodia. And I arrived and I jumped on a plane and I flew 13, 14 hours from the West Coast and went to Taipei, Taiwan, down to Phnom Penh. And I stepped off the plane and I loved everything about it. I loved the heat that slapped you in the face when you stepped off the plane. I loved the strange smells that you get. I loved they sold grilled tarantulas on the corners of streets. And I did not try one, but I saw someone try one and then they spit it out very quickly. I loved everything about it. It was absolutely wonderful. And I was this young guy in Bible college, and I went to help do a leadership conference with this guy called Sitan Lee, who's actually came and spoke here before. Incredible testimony. God had given him the English language so he could interface with the U.S. Embassy. He was in the killing fields. He amazing testimony. And here I am. And they're helped doing this leadership conference, and I felt completely over my head. I was with some other folks who actually knew what they're doing, but I was there trying to figure out what I was doing. And I'm speaking to these pastors who, many of them had been in the killing fields in Cambodia. They had been planting churches. They had been praying for the sick. They had been raising the dead. It was like their life. They talked about God healing someone like I'd talk about what I had for breakfast. It was just, and here I am, I'm trying to tell them something that they don't already know. But anyway, it was a great, amazing opportunity. And I left there with this call in my life and the sense that God had spoken to me. I loved everything about it. I fell in love with the nations, and I'm in love with the nations even today. But I believe God, because I believe God wants to touch them and wants to change the nations through our lives as believers. And so whether it's a face, a culture, whatever it is, I believe it's all inspired and breathed by God. And we as believers have the great opportunity of telling these wonderful people around the world about a Savior. I've heard it said this way, we are just beggars telling another beggar where to get bread. And that's who we are. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're looking at the life on mission, the mission of God. And And as we recap last week just a bit, remember this last week it was about you. It was about you. We're brought into this, under the blood of Jesus Christ, brought into this wonderful thing called the church. And then he gave us this thing called a mission. And God has anointed us and empowered us and released us to be world changers. That's why he put us on this earth, to transform your area of influence, wherever you are. God's called you to change it. God's called you to speak into it. You are the light in the midst of darkness. You have an edge on every person around you when it comes to making decisions because you have the mind of Christ. This is who we are. So that was about our local and our regional area. Wherever we walk, remember, wherever the soles of our feet walk, God gives us the possession of the land. But today I want to talk about the nations, the mission of God. Mission is the heart and DNA of God reaching out to those who don't know him. And in the world of mission, we would call that the unreached people groups. And there are many, even today, unreached people groups. Believe it or not, there are people in this country who have never heard the gospel. You step over into Europe, there are many, many, many people who have never heard the gospel. You step into Asia, you step all around the world, there are people and people groups, they're tucked away in a mountain somewhere, they're tucked away in some other place, but they are unreached. No one has went to them and said, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. Unreached people groups. And the DNA of God is to reach them and to bring them the good news. And the Bible gives us this right here, gives us our directions for life and for mission. Now, it won't tell you if what job you should take, but it gives you the principles on how to make decisions on how God is leading you, how God is shaping you, what God is saying. And this gives us the principles of how we live our lives and how we live our lives on mission in the world and why God has called us, why he has redeemed us. And so I want us to look at it this morning, and I want to approach missions from a different standpoint. Normally, we look at missions from Matthew 28, Jesus, the Great Commission, going to all the world. But I want to approach it a little differently this morning, from a different angle. And the thought is this: mission did not start in the New Testament under the New Covenant. It actually started in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Mission is needed because of one thing: the fall of man. Mission is needed. And we're going to look at this. God gives instructions in the garden leading up to Genesis chapter 3. He gives them the garden. He gives them dominion. He tells them, listen, you can eat of anything here. This is all yours, but not of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. But everything else, everything. It's funny. I don't know if you've ever told a little child, listen, you can have everything, but just make sure you don't touch this. Don't touch that. So you turn around and then you look back and they're a little closer to what they're not supposed to be touching. But God said you can eat of anything, but don't eat of that. And so we're going to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees and of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely won't die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and she ate it, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. At the end of verse 7, the fellowship of God had been severed. The fellowship with God and humankind, they had lost their innocence because they rebelled. It's not particularly the fall of man, it's the rebellion of man against what God had said. And they had lost their inheritance, they had lost their wholeness, they had lost their relationship. One theologian called this the world's greatest tragedy, the moment that sin entered the world and everything was thrown into chaos. Sin became the unwelcome heritage of mankind in the world. that all who are born on the earth since then were born into sin. Romans 5:12 says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. This is where it all began. This is where it all started, the separation from God. And as we just read, Adam and Eve's eyes were open to what was right. Before they were naked, and they were not ashamed. They didn't even know they were naked. They were just like a little kid, as we talked about earlier. Little kid running a house naked. They have no clue they're even naked. And you're saying, cover up. Someone's coming over. They don't care. They're kids. They like the way the wind feels. It's wonderful. They just run around. And this is Adam and Eve. There was nothing. They were free. But after they ate, after they rebelled against God, now they begin to cover themselves and their nakedness with fig leaves. And it's interesting that after they covered themselves with fig leaves, Adam still describes himself as naked in verse 10 of chapter 3. He said this, I hid from you because I was naked. Well, he had already sown leaves and covered himself up, but yet he still referred to himself as naked. You see, the leaves concealed him, but they did not really cover him. They did not really cover Eve. They were covered, but they had lost their covering. They had lost this intimacy. They had lost something, and yet they still felt naked. Except this time, they were ashamed. They were aware that a chasm had come between them and their loving and caring and wonderful Father, and all of mankind, because of that decision, was separated from God. Since then, we are all born into the world separated from God. This is the fall and rebellion of mankind. But this is also where we begin to see the first glimpse of God's heart. And we begin to see the mission of God and the heart of God. You see, God has been on a mission strategy since Genesis. Not just Matthew 28, but since Genesis. And we find this mission, and it's in this one little phrase in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. And look at 8 and 9. And this is where we see the glimpse of God. Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord. They hid from the Lord God among the trees. But the Lord God called to man. So picture this, God's coming. He walks in the cool of the garden, which he did before, and they would fellowship, and they'd hang out, and there was this complete intimacy between man and God. And God comes to the garden, and he asks this very question. He says this, where are you? The mission of God began in the beginning with the uttering of these words from God. Where are you? He's never had to ask that question ever before in the whole relationship with Adam and Eve. Now, all of a sudden, Adam, Eve, where are you? Now, the fact is this, God knew where they were. Physically, he knew where they were. He knew you're right there, you're behind that tree, you're next to the bush with the red flowers, you got a little butterfly flying above your left ear, and you're stepping on something that's sharp on your right foot. He knew exactly where they were. But he asked the question, where are you? Because they didn't know where they were. They didn't know exactly what had happened. And this is the first glimpse of God seeking to find and to reach humankind. As I was reading this, I saw it's much like a story or an experience of a parent who has lost a child in a store. Anyone here guilty of losing a child in a store? Come on, lift your hand if you've done it. Let's just confess this morning and we'll just move on. You lost your child. Well, what do? You start kind of calling their names a little bit. Where are you? And then all of a sudden, you don't give a rip who hears you. You can't find your baby, and you're going to shut the whole store down until you do. Where are you? You begin looking. You look in the clothes rack. They're not there. You look in the next aisle. They're not there. Where are you? You're grabbing employees. Listen, you better get on the intercom. I can't find my baby. And we will do whatever it takes, because separation has happened. And you're going to do whatever is in your power to close the gap of separation. And once you find them, you are so relieved. Maybe a little mad, but you're also really relieved. Why? Because you were fine. Because you weren't lost. You knew where you were. You knew that you were safe. But they were lost. That's why you asked the question. The concern was not for yourself because you were fine. The concern was for your child that was lost and was innocent, and they don't know what to do. This is the picture of God in the garden. Where are you? The mission of God to reunite himself back with man. The mission of God is to reach man so that man can be found. The reuniting of mankind back to the Father who stands even today at the precipice of eternity and calls out the question to the nations of the world, where are you? This is the longing and the question of the Father's heart for the reunion and the restoration with himself and his children. This is the mission of God. This is our Father's heart. Mission is the whole of the Bible. Everything in this, from Genesis to Revelation, is the mission of God. It's the story of God seeking after us, revealing his plan through Israel, through Moses, through Noah, through David, through Abraham, through Joshua, through the prophets and others. It's God telling a story, trying to reach man. And it's funny that every other religion in the world, and we've heard this many times, every other religion in the world is man trying to reach God. But Christianity, through the love of the Father, is about God trying to reach man. And he's told this story in the Bible. And it could be summed up like this. God called a man, Abram, to create a people, the Jews, that through them to create a Savior and Messiah, Jesus Christ, to bless the world. Everything in the Old Testament law. Listen, I'm trying to read through the Bible in 1 year. Let me just clarify. I'm doing my best to read through the Bible in 1 year. And there are some great points. I've done it before. This year, I'm going to do it again. There are some great. You get in the New Testament. Oh, Judges is great. Genesis, and then. But along the way, you go through these books like Leviticus. And make sure you do this. Make sure you don't do this. Make sure you take this. And if this happens, do this. And if this happens, do that. Every instruction of worship. And the reality is this. Why is that in there? Well, the fact is this. Everything in the Old Testament, the law, every instruction of worship, every sacrificial system, the Ark of the Covenant, is to reveal God's plan. And his plan was Jesus. And Jesus' plan was to reach the world and reunite man back to God. The mission of God was laser focused to unite himself with us through his son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40 says, Jesus said this. He's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you will possess eternal life. But these scriptures, actually, they testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. You see, Jesus wasn't talking about the New Testament because the New Testament wasn't written yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had not written the biography of Jesus yet. He was speaking of the Old Testament. He was speaking of the types and the shadows of God pointing towards one person, and that was Jesus. Pointing towards one thing, and that was the cross. Pointing through one thing, and that was the sacrifice of the perfect lamb to die and to raise from the dead, to redeem man back to himself. The mission of God is articulated by Jesus in Matthew 18:11. He says, Jesus said this, I came to you for what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Where are you? Jesus came to find you. This is grace. The God of the universe seeking after his children. To reach every person and find every person on the planet and extend his hand of love and reconciliation through his son, Jesus. Every tribe, every tongue, every person, the world, every tribe, every tongue, every person. We would call this the nations. God is passionate about the nations, and we prayed for them this morning. The world and nations consisted of different people, different languages, different cultures, different backgrounds. And the nations came into existence in Genesis. And from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, picture this, everyone spoke the same language, the same one. And then the world was horrible, and Noah and his family were the only ones who were righteous. And God used them, put them in an ark. And they began, after through Moses' family, to repopulate the earth again after the flood. And the population grew, and we come to Genesis chapter 11, and it's a story of these folks who wanted to build a tower. They wanted to build a tower called the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build it because it says in Scripture they wanted to make a name for themselves. And God says, God came down, and he looked, and he said, man, if I don't do something, they're going to really mess it up. And so we come to this place in Scripture. Let's take a look at this. Genesis 11, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Verse 9, that is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused their language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. This is the place and the point in our biblical history that God gave different languages and then scattered them around the world. And this is the birth of what we would call the nations. And the nations are born. And nations are on the very heart of God because simply this, they consist of people he desperately wants to be found. He asked the question today, even today this morning, he still asked the question as he did back in the garden, where are you? My children, where are you? Today, there are 196 countries in the world. In 2009, there were 6,909 distinct languages on the earth. Jesus gave instructions about the nations in Matthew 28, and this is a mission Sunday, so let's read the Great Commission. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. The mission of God, the mission of God, the nations. Touch them, reach them, find those who are lost. The Great Commission. But I'm going to read this statement to you, and I just want you to think on it just for a second. The mission of God does include the Great Commission, but it is not necessarily defined by it. The mission of God does include the Great Commission, but it is necessarily not defined by it. Why? Because the mission of God is from everywhere to everywhere. The mission of God is from everywhere to everywhere. The heart of God to reach man. Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus said. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right here, locally, and Judea, regionally in Samaria, but also internationally to the ends of the earth. Wherever you are is your local. Wherever we are, existence, we want to draw a bigger circle, that's our regional. See, we cover the local and the regional because that's where we are, but we're still responsible for this thing that Jesus calls the ends of the earth, the nations. The nations, the people. They're longing for someone to come and find them. And that's what Jesus told us. You are responsible for local and regional. And we talked about that last week. But also, let us not forget that we are also responsible for the ends of the earth. The mission of God is from everywhere to everywhere. It's his kingdom going forward. The nations are responding a lot like Paul. Paul was on a journey in Acts chapter 10, And we call this experience the Macedonia call. But Paul was going, he was going to this city, and then the Holy Spirit said, nope, don't go there. He thought, okay, we'll go to this city and preach the gospel. Nope, don't go there. What? How about this city, preach the gospel? And the Holy Spirit said, nope, don't go there. So they stopped and they prayed, and Paul has a vision. And in the vision, he sees this man from Macedonia who's standing there. And this is what the man says in the vision to Paul. It's very simple, but he says, come over to Macedonia and what? Help us. And verse 10, immediately, we sought out to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's this call of the nations. The nations are responding just like Macedonia. Will you come and will you help us? Will you come and will you help find us? And after they went to Macedonia, they preached the gospel in Macedonia. The church was established in Macedonia. And after they reached the church, Paul writes about the Macedonian church to the Corinthian church, and he urges the Corinthian church to give. And how does he do it? He uses the story of Macedonia. Let's read this story real quick. Now, brethren, I wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, remember, they were unreached. Remember that. Paul went and preached the gospel, and the church was established. In the churches of Macedonia, that is a great ordeal of affliction. Their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberty. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. Begging us with much urging for this favor of participating in the support of the saints. This reminds me of the disciples who were beaten and who were persecuted, and they left the city. And they said the disciples were rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer for the name. This is the Macedonia church who gave out of their extreme poverty. They said, Paul, you're not leaving here until you let us give you money to go and equip more saints. Because we've been found. We are taken care of locally, but we're also responsible for the ends of the earth. This is the Macedonia church. This is actually the same call for us as the Church of Faith Bible Chapel. God has done a great work in our lives, in our city, in our church. And God is, and we're responsible for this place. And we're going to take it in the name of Jesus, because this is the ground God's given us. Wherever we go, that is our mission field. But he also says, you are also responsible for the ends of the earth. Which brings us to this wonderful thing this morning, the great privilege and the great honor of our missionaries, who are our hands and our voice to the ends of the earth. We reach the lost here. This is our area. This is our local and regional area. But they reach the lost there. They go and touch the ends of the earth. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, locally, regionally, and internationally. As you pull out your pamphlet this morning, I'm going to ask you to do that. If you're here, everyone who came in, you received a brochure. There are names on here, and some of them may mean nothing to you. But I want to assure you, behind these names are people who are waiting to be found. Behind these names are people who are longing to find their Father, and their Father is longing to find them. And God sent his Son to die on the cross and to give us a responsibility for the ends of the earth. And as we go through here, Joe and Emily Cruz, who are in the Philippines and planting churches, are there people yet to be found? I would say, yes, there are. Are there people who have not yet been found in Kazakhstan with Kurt and Diana Chanda? Yes, there are. Is it our responsibility? Yes, it is. Can I go? I can't go. I can't go, but Kurt and Diana can. Leanna Cinquinta, I'm just pulling some random folks out here. Leanna Cinquinta, who was actually here last week, who was working in India, planting churches, equipping the saints, empowering the indigenous people, rescuing children off of the street and giving them a second hope. Are there more people who are searching? Is the heart of God beating for some folks in India to be found? Yes. I can't go to India, but Leanna can. Jude and Cindy Del Harrow, who work downtown Denver, who we all know them. They are wonderful, wonderful folks who are reaching people in the inner city, serving them, bringing people to Christ, working with local churches, strengthening local churches. Are there more people down there who are wanting to be found, who God's heart is beating for them and asking, where are you? Yes. Russell and Fraze, who are planting Bible schools all over the world, equipping these saints to do the work of the ministry. Why? Because there are 4.2 billion people on the planet that do not know Jesus Christ. So the heart of God says, where are you? Ajay and Nancy, Nancy is here with us this morning. Can you wave your hand, Nancy? Who's been serving in the mission field for 23 years. They have an orphanage in Chiang Rai, Thailand. They have a Bible school. They're training pastors, planting churches, reaching unreached people groups. They have it's called the Akka Foundation. They're transforming the world. Why? Because God's heart is still asking the question, where are you? Project China Cry, which is Bobby Stratman. Now, if you've ever met Bobby, whatever she decides to do, she's going to do it. She made a decision to go to China. She's working with the underground church. She's planting Bible schools through Joshua Nations. And she's doing it because God is asking the question, where are you? Peter and Linda Warren, who are equipping and sending out missionaries all around the world through YWAM right here in our backyard. All these great people who are on here, and I wish I could call them all out by name. But if you look over, you see nations, you see their ministry base under. There's Turkey, Alaska, England, Philippines, Colorado, Costa Rica, Jerusalem, worldwide, El Salvador, Spain, Morocco, Northern India, Brazil, Pakistan. These are the nations of the world. And you and I are responsible for them. The question must be asked to the nations, where are you? Romans 10, verse 14 and 15 is one of the great mission scriptures that we have. And Paul writes, he says, how then can they, speaking of those who were lost, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, telling them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You see, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity. It is its sending capacity. That's what makes us a great church. The mission of God is our mission to complete.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.